President Biden is meeting with more than 20 CEOs from the tech, energy, banking, insurance, and education sectors at the White House today, drill into cybersecurity issues. Some names expected to attend include Apple CEO Tim Cook, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella, and JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon. Let's dive into the state of cybersecurity with our friend John Chambers. He's the founder and CEO of JC2 Ventures and the former longtime CEO of Cisco. John, always good to see you here. You are no stranger to being in these types of pressure cooker meetings with heads of state around the world. Let's say you were in that room today. What are you telling President Biden about the state of the country's cybersecurity, and how can we up our game here?
Well, Brian, first, it's a pleasure to be back with you, Mals, and Julie on your all show. Answer your question directly. You've seen this issue coming with cybersecurity for the last 5 to 10 years. And we as a country and we as business and as a world have not gotten ahead of the bad guys. The key message here, it's about innovation and moving rapidly, and you need a systemic approach to dealing with it. The companies and the CEOs, it's a very impressive list with great minds in the room. And the fact that they included the insurance companies was an important issue because cybersecurity insurance is a big issue. The area that perhaps they need to think in addition on, and it might be an interesting question for Anne, is where are the startups? The startups are where the innovation happens. A company like Versec, which I'm a key backer in, could have prevented in any company the SolarWinds attack, the Colonial Pipeline attack, the attack on Department of Homeland Security, the issues on T-Mobile, because they have a different approach to security. And cybersecurity insurance, it won't be the traditional cybersecurity insurance players here. It will be a new generation of hot startups out of Silicon Valley. So for your viewers who are thinking how to play this financial game in the longer term, you're going to see a series of new generations of cybersecurity companies and cybersecurity insurance companies. And again, I'm active there with a company called Safe Insurance AI, just launching now about how do you deal with this in an entirely automated AI type of approach. So what I would tell them is we've got to get ahead of the game. We're behind. You've got to have a architectural approach to it. Government, education, business, insurance must work together on it and understand that the majority of innovation is coming out of the startups. You've got to include them in this solution if you're going to really get the answers quickly.
Hey, John, it's Julie here. You're a nice guy, so I don't know if you're going to answer this one. But we are, I mean, clearly we're behind, right? Look at how often these hacks are happening. We know that most of them are emanating from China, from Russia. Whose fault is it that we are so behind? Is it the government's fault? Is it corporations' fault?
Well, it's the fun thing about not being a CEO of a large company anymore, Julie. So I won't dodge near as many of your questions as I might have in the past. Hopefully I dodged them in a way that you and Brian and Miles didn't realize it as much. It's all of our fault. In 2015, I said at the World Economic Forum, there are only two types of companies, those that have been hacked and those that don't know they've been hacked. We've known this was coming for the last 5 to 7 years, and we've not stepped up to it. We've also not gone with programs that allow for the implementation, and we need a policy that really goes after it aggressively. Now, put a different way, let me put the burden on the CEOs that are in this session and their chief security officer. How would you like to be explaining as a chief security officer to your CEO, or worse, to your board of directors, why you could have had a solution in place that would have prevented every one of these attacks that was already proven out by the Department of Defense in a hackathon with a company called Versec with 15,000 different attacks, 200 of America's top hackers, and 100% effectiveness in protecting those application and workloads, and immediately shuts it down when it occurs. So you've got to move faster. You can't stay things for 6 and 12 months and then put in place programs 18 months from now to implement it. It's about agility and speed. And so I think it's what one of my very good friends said at one of the key service providers. She said to me, John, I would not want to be the person explaining to my CEO or to my board why, when there are ways to prevent this, we hadn't at least evaluated it and tried it very carefully. Look to the startups for a lot of the innovation. Same thing is true on cybersecurity insurance for the future as well.
John, I want to broaden out here and talk a little bit just about the investing landscape and kind of the setup for big tech here, right? There's a lot of heat now. There's been a lot of heat on the venture capital business. Everyone wants a piece of that. We see SPACs. You've got, of course, the FANGs with several trillion-dollar valuations out there. What does the tech space look like to you as a veteran, of course, of the tech bubble? I mean, how different is it than what we saw 20 years ago? And what are conversations like with your either portfolio company, someone you want to invest in? How much more competition is there for some of this allocation?
Well, I think you said it very well earlier, Miles, and each of you all commented on it. You mentioned $510 billion from 25 private equity firms. You're seeing the same thing for many of the traditional investment firms, and you're seeing it out of established enterprise companies and big tech. I've never seen more money available on the market. I have 20 startups. Instead of us chasing people to invest in us, we actually are oversubscribed for issues that are 9 and 12 months out. And so you can pick and choose, and at least at this time, your investors very carefully. And you're seeing almost everybody move to growth opportunities into tech. And Julie, I think you said it best that there's so few growth opportunities, both in the SPAC and in the existing market, you're paying such premiums for it. They're going to reach further down to new startups. You see that in the proliferation of SPACs, new IPOs, et cetera, within that. It's going to change everything. You can have a company that does voice authentication in a GM or Toyota or a Ford car, and you're going to change that dashboard. You're going to change the electrical car mode, the self-driving mode, but it will often be the new startups that enable this. And that's why I think it's so important to see the money flowing in. Will the merry-go-round stop at a point in time? It always does. And so it's important to run companies with a focus on profits and free cash flow, not just on growth alone.
And John, I think the merry-go-round has certainly stopped with China stocks, China investments. The situation has really gone downhill since the last time we talked to you. As someone that has done business in China and worked with officials there for decades, do you want your startups working in China and doing business in China?
Well, again, with the candor and directness, I can say as a venture capitalist as opposed to a head of a large multinational, the answer for my startups is no. You have to have predictability. You have to have intellectual property protection. You have to have a reasonably level, it doesn't have to be perfect level playing field. That used to be very much the case 10, 20, 30 years ago. For your listeners, I was at Wang Laboratories. Zhang Ziman was Dr. Wang's classmate in school. My average meeting with him was over an hour when I met with him. For decades, I was very close to the Chinese leadership. And while negotiations were tough, there was always a win-win mentality. It's developed in the last 5 years, especially maybe even 10, to win-lose. And so my direction to all my companies, it's their call as CEOs, but even though it's the biggest market in the world to be, I am waiting till there's more predictability before I'd encourage them to get involved. I think that's a real problem for China. I think they overreached in terms of the most recent technology moves that they made and hampering their tech startups. Will they be the largest economy in the world? Inevitably, yes. Will the U.S. and China eventually figure out how to get along? Yes. Do I think it will be bumpier before it gets better? Yes, I do. And would I be investing in China at the present time, especially as a small company that has technology leadership? I would not.
John, real quickly before we let you go, is there one thing you would want to see from Chinese officials just to help you become more confident in doing business there?
Predictability. China is always during my career, and remember, you said it well, I've been there for 4 decades. Their five-year plans, you could count on what they put in the five-year plans they would implement. You knew when they made a commitment to you that they were going to deliver. Doesn't mean they didn't negotiate hard. And you knew they were trying to get a win-win in most cases. And during that time period, candidly, I never had a government or a business official in China not deliver on commitments made to me. I think they have to get back to that. I don't think it's in their country's best interest long-term or ours. And by the way, both sides are to blame there. We have not handled it very crisply as a country at this end either.
Well said. We always learn so much talking to you. John Chambers, the CEO of JC2 Ventures and the former longtime CEO of Cisco. Stay safe and belated happy birthday. We'll talk to you soon.
Brian, thank you very much. 49 and counting. Great to see you all again. Thank you, Julie.
You look good, my friend.
Thank you.